Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com.
I'm Erica Wides, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
This is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network. Before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media. Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love. That's love spelled L-U-V and hashtag using Primary Food. Heritage underscore radio and hashtag RevLove. So welcome to the first episode of the second season of Primary Food. Yay! A thumbs up from the booth. And what exactly is Primary Food? For my newbie listeners, I learned this really great concept in nutrition school at IIN, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, that the food you eat, you know, the stuff we put in our mouths and chew and enjoy, we consider that secondary food. Primary food is everything else in life that nourishes us before we sit down and eat. And that's stuff like enjoying music, reading a book, hanging out with friends, cooking food, a great job, creative expression, playing games, exercise. And I am so glad that I learned this because it was the high-quality primary food that I kept in my life while going through chemotherapy last year that kept me happy and healing my cancer. So I personally love combining primary food and secondary food. So I enjoy making the food I eat. And today, we are prepping for upcoming summer months, also known as ice cream season. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. And National Ice Cream Month in June. Who knew?
Hey.
So we are having an on-air ice cream social. And joining me today is Sasha. Hi. Sasha Jones, fellow IIN grad, Stigley Holistics, holistic health coach. Actually, my health coach in the past, life cycle celebrant. And also we're starting, I think, a new tradition with you, Sasha. You have been on the first episode of both of my seasons.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, okay. We're going to be doing, you're going to be like the person with the champagne bottle that smashes it at the window here at Roberta's.
In the primary scene.
And then sitting next to Sasha is Jen Mailer, photographer, food and ice cream lover. She laughs too much. And we have Jen Maravegas.
Hi.
Mom, media maven, ice cream lover, right?
All true stories, yes.
All true. And on the phone from California is Nancy Hightone Leb from Choctaw Single Origin Ice Cream. I don't know if we can hear her just yet, or we might be calling her in. So Choctaw Single Origin Ice Cream's co-owner, Nancy Hightone Leb, she's a businesswoman and an ice cream expert with lots of fun ice cream facts under her belt. And she's sent me a whole lot of ice cream from her ultra-premium line of frozen Joy Joy for us to all taste and understand the idea of single origin. So that's why today's episode is called Lovers of Ice Cream Unite. So thank you all for being here. We love ice cream.
I do.
Do we have Nancy on the line?
Yes, you do.
Hey, I hear you. Awesome. Okay, so listeners, you can call in live. Tell us why you love ice cream and in what form. Soft serve. Cookie. How else do they come?
Sundays.
All of the above.
Sundays. And tell us any cute ice cream stories. And the number to call in is 718-497-2128. Again, to call in live, if you're listening, you better be listening. 718-497-2128. So, I DJ, and I love music. And there is no song that grips me like this song does.
Ice cream.
I don't know if you have this song back in California where you are, Nancy, but that's our Mr. Softy ice cream truck.
Oh, yes. Now I get it. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
One time I was on the Grand Central Parkway speeding. I was speeding. And a Mr. Softy truck sped past me with that music playing. And it kind of, let's see if I can replicate it. It sounded like this. And that really happened. It was really amazing. So I like to make my own ice cream. I tend to make a dairy-free or fruit, no added sugar sorbet, use my blender. And I think I have a Hamilton Beach ice cream maker machine thingy. Kind of like the Snoopy snow cone machine. You guys remember that?
Yep.
No. We're old enough for that. Sasha's like, no, I don't know that.
We all remember that, yeah.
Yeah, Nancy remembers. Okay. Do you guys, I know Nancy makes ice cream, but you guys, do you guys ever make any ice cream?
My freezer is too small.
That's a great excuse for like dieting all the time. My fridge and my freezer is just too small for pizza and ice cream and things. You guys make ice cream or you just consume?
I know. I don't have the patience to make ice cream.
You don't have to do anything.
You can make it for me.
You want to come over and make ice cream, Sam? Come on.
I will make it for you. So what does ice cream mean to you, Jen? It just means capital letter M.
It could mean I had a really bad day and I just want to douse myself in some ice cream.
Do you medicate with ice cream?
Oh, it does. Ice cream and rom-com. I think everyone here has had one of those nights.
Absolutely.
Yes?
Absolutely. No. I'm not.
Maybe
lies.
One or two.
Lies. Do you have any stories from your childhood about ice cream?
There are only a few things you can really enjoy as a soft serve. So I've always enjoyed that.
So that means no childhood stories.
No, as I was talking about before, my mom and I, we always had our little tradition, and we would go to Friendly's Ice Cream, and our main thing that we loved getting was in a sugar cone, brown cone, not the waffle cone, the brown one, the hard, crunchy one, and it was butter crunch ice cream. That was, I don't know what they put in it, but it was just really good with some chocolate sprinkles. And
butter was in it.
That was the bomb. It was super tasty. It wasn't butter pecan. Butter crunch, and I don't know. I don't want to know what artificial tastiness was in there, because I just like to eat it. It's kind of like a hot dog.
I bet Nancy's rolling her eyes right now all the way in California.
But I'm an adult now, and I'm super excited for these ice creams that I'm about to try, Nancy.
Nancy's ice cream sitting right next to us, kind of like winking at us. It's like,
are they all lined up?
They are. I organized everything. We're getting ready. Sasha, ice cream. What does ice cream mean for you?
I think it's a super special treat for me. I've never done the pint of ice cream with the TV thing. I don't know.
You're missing
maybe
out.
I grew up in the wrong culture.
I don't think
probably.
You qualify.
But every once in a while, I like to go to a special place, and I'm a special ice cream kind of person. But I do have one memory from childhood is I had been left behind at a gas station when I was about 8 or 9, and there were 2 cars traveling with 6 tow-headed children, and so everybody thought I was in the other car. And eventually I got found many hours later.
Gosh.
But I got ice cream as a treat with my dad, and that was like one of them. It was worth it for that.
I hope that was really good ice cream.
Yeah, it was like so tragic and ended so delicious. Like, did your dad think like, well,
he remembered every single word of French he'd ever learned. I just came back to him like,
oh gosh, oh my god, oh wow. And Jen, number 2, ice cream. What does ice cream mean for you?
While I have definitely indulged in a number of evenings with a pint of ice cream and television, I think really ice cream is more of a celebration for me. Mm-hmm. I remember it being a treat when I was little because we used to be able to walk to Carvel from my house. And my mom, it would be a big deal. Like, all right, after dinner in the summer, like ice cream is summer to me. And I can eat ice cream in the winter. It doesn't quite taste right, though. But ice cream in the summer is me and my mom and dad walking to Carvel and then trying to eat the cone without it melting all over my hand before we got home. So that's...
There are Scandinavian countries that eat more ice cream per capita at the coldest of the year, winter.
I mean, apparently that's, you're supposed to like balance your inside with your outside. So you're supposed to like you're supposed to eat soup in the summer to keep balance, you know, your internal temperature with the external and eat, I don't know.
Sasha's like shaking her head. Sasha's like,
Well, I think maybe the fat content helps that you might want to eat it in the winter. So
just eat
might
it in front of a fire.
There you go. That works for me. I'm going to set some stuff on fire and start eating ice cream this morning.
Now, are you guys cone or cup people? I'm a cone person.
I like a cup if it's a real ceramic cup and a real spoon, but if it's a plastic or a paper one, I will choose a cone.
Oh.
Yeah.
If I don't care what I'm wearing, then I'm a cone. If I have to be neat, then I've got to go in a cup.
Yeah. Oh,
for sure.
That makes sense.
I'm usually a cone. For myself, I'm a cone, but I have a 5-year-old son, and he's. I have to give him a cup, otherwise it's catastrophe.
It's like Jen said.
Yeah, I mean,
if you put it in a cone and then put it in the cup,
yeah. But he doesn't care about the cone, so then he's like, well, whatever for this thing. So, you know, 5-year-olds, what are you going to do?
Nancy, are you a cup or a cone?
I'm a cup. I'm a cup girl.
Ah, so it's just me, sort of. Okay. Well, let's talk about your wonderful samples here before they start melting and we can't enjoy them. Choctaw, am I saying that right? Choctaw?
Choctaw, absolutely.
Choctaw is a single origin, all caps, ultra premium ice cream company that produces 4 varieties of chocolate and 4 varieties of vanilla in pints and 4-ounce single serve cups. So maybe, Nancy, I'll just let you take it from here because you can describe and tell us what we've got here.
Okay, so are you guys all ready with your spoon?
You know what? Spoons in hand?
Spoons in hand.
I'm opening the chest of, whoa, ice.
Okay, so I'm going to walk you through is what we like to call the Choctaw World Tour.
Ooh, do we need passports for this?
We have gathered what we believe are, you know, the finest examples of vanilla and cacao from throughout the world. And what you guys are doing is really the best experience is being able to taste all of that and really see the differences in the vanilla beans or the cacao. There's no difference in any of the recipes with one tiny exception that I'll talk about. All the same recipes and the 4 vanillas and the 4 chocolates, and you'll find that they all taste distinctly different with a lot of different flavor notes in each one. So okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, we're ready. So I'm just excited. Tell me which one, and I'm going to pass
you're
out.
You're going to start with the Indonesian vanilla. It's like a wine tasting.
Okay. Oh, Jen and I, you will share this with me. And Jen and Sasha will...
Everybody ready?
Hang on. I know, this is it's like such a treat. Stab it.
Oh, yum.
Okay, we're ready.
So, go ahead, have your sample. I think you'll find, the Indonesian vanilla is really, it's our lightest vanilla. It's very creamy. And you'll get a little bit of an almond accent to it.
Ooh, back
of the
tongue.
That's fantastic. Yeah, this is really delicious. Mm.
If Jen says it's delicious.
That's good.
We
also, ultra premium. So, you know, again, we use a fair amount of cream in our ice cream. But we also use, in all of our ice cream, 2 to 3 times more vanilla or cacao, so you're getting a richer flavor. Because it's single origin, it's not a blend. Everything comes from the same location, so it's a cleaner flavor.
That's what I was going to say. It tastes clean and like there's a saltiness to it?
Well,
that might just be me.
Actually, that's probably you. There's a little bit of salt in it, but... Ready to move on?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So the next one is the Papua New Guinea vanilla.
New Guinea. All right.
Everybody have their spoons?
Yeah, spoons ready. And okay. The samples right here.
So taste that, and then it's, I think at the very, very end, when you're about to say, you're going to get a cherry, fruity back note. Right after you're about to say, no, oh. I don't, and then it sort of hits you.
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
Everyone got it at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's Papua New Guinea.
That's Papua New Guinea. Again, the only difference between those two is the source of the vanilla.
They look very different also if you look at them. The Papua New Guinea one has the beans. You can see the beans in it, and it's a darker, richer color.
Yes.
Oh, that's lovely. People who are listening, they're going to call in all angry.
They're drooling.
I'm going to have more to figure out which one of these I like better. Sorry.
They're so distinctly different.
Doesn't always pay to make a quick decision here.
They're so different. I'm really surprised.
Absolutely.
What makes them so different?
And so now it's ready to go to this third one, which should be the Madagascar vanilla.
Madagascar here.
And this is the flavor that you're probably most familiar with in terms of, you know, classic vanilla.
Okay. It's like this is a great ice cream party. Like, really? Okay. Madagascar, here we go.
Summer's still a couple months away. I can do this.
Yeah. This tastes like the vanilla I know. Yeah.
Right. It's that, you know, Madagascar is the typical baking, rich vanilla flavor.
Oh, I really like the second one from Papua New Guinea.
I think so, too. Yeah. I actually really like the first one.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, we can't be friends anymore.
No, it just means we're not fighting over the last one. I'm saying, we can just all share this now.
Yeah, the first one and the third one, you get the vanilla notes more, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the classic that we know of it. So.
Yeah, and that's Madagascar. Ready to go on to Mexican vanilla?
Wow.
Mexican. Now, this is the one, as I said, it's all the same recipe throughout the all four vanillas. The Mexican vanilla is the only one that does have a tiny bit of cinnamon added into it.
Okay. Let's see. Let's get in here.
And you definitely taste the cinnamon.
A little more complex than the rest than the other three.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really nice. Are we supposed to pick a favorite for you, Nancy?
Yeah. That's what's fun.
I think number four.
Sasha likes Mexican.
I'm going Indonesian.
Indonesian. Which was the one that had the cherry hint?
Papua New Guinea.
That's the one I like.
I'll go number one and two were my favorites.
You have to pick one.
I want both.
It depends on the day.
Yes.
And Jen, which one's your favorite?
I don't know. I'm still taste testing.
She's like, well, let me taste this one again. And then this one. This is so interesting. So we can have four different scoops of vanilla in a serving, and they're quite different.
Really amazing.
Tell us about what makes vanillas different from region to region.
It depends on where they're grown. It's like wine or coffee, you know, depending on the environment. The fancy French word is terroir, which it's the soil differentiation, it's the climate. You know, vanilla and cacao all grow in the rainforest, but from these four different countries, it's all, you know, they're very different environments. And that's where the variation comes from.
You know how people say things are vanilla and that means boring? This is the complete opposite of that. Actually, I'm offended by that statement now.
Right.
Because this is really great.
Right.
So again, that was the Indonesian vanilla, the Papua New Guinea vanilla, Madagascar, and Mexican vanilla. Do you have a favorite, Nancy?
I do. We have a divided household. My favorite is Mexican vanilla. My husband's favorite is Papua New Guinea vanilla.
Okay. Wow.
So we just have to have both at home at all times.
No problem. That's great for business, actually.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, tell us a little bit about why. We'll go into the chocolates, but I'm curious to know why you wanted to do chocolate and vanillas and examine it this way, because I love this.
Well, my husband's a foodie and a cook and a chef, an amateur chef and many other things. And we've explored various food businesses throughout the, through the last few years. We We Choctaw is actually a relaunch of a brand. We purchased the company in 2013 with the founder. It had been dormant for a few years, and it was an outstanding product. You know, it's like when you taste Choctaw, you immediately see the high quality product and the difference in the ice cream. And we, you know, what's not to love about ice cream? It's really fun to be a part of.
Right.
We joke that we've become much more popular
since you started dealing with ice cream. I have a lot more friends now that I work in ice cream.
Yes, coming out of the woodwork.
Now, it's ultra premium. So what does ultra premium mean?
Ultra premium means it means that it contains at least 16% butter fat.
Mm. Okay.
And that's what makes it so good.
That's what makes it good. Yeah, this is what I'll be having on my non-vegan days. Are you considering perhaps maybe a vegan product as well in the future? Maybe?
We're looking at some possible non-dairy options.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
That sounds great. And there is no artificial additives, no eggs, or gluten. And I was curious to read about that, because where is there gluten in ice cream?
Gluten in ice cream is usually ice cream that has inclusions.
Okay.
You know, the cookie dough, the chocolate chips.
Of course.
The peanut butter cups, things like that.
Okay.
That's usually where gluten comes from in ice cream.
That makes sense. And Choctaw is also kosher.
Yes.
All right. So shall we go into the chocolate?
Let's go to chocolate.
Let's go into chocolate.
So again, I have a special order for you. I want you to start with the Ghana chocolate.
Ghana. Here we go. Whoa, it's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
Sparkling.
Sparkling.
It kind of is.
It is sparkling. All right. You ready?
Everybody ready?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Very fudgy.
Mm-hmm.
It's an adult fudgicle. I think we all remember those.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to lie, I don't really like chocolate ice cream, but this is actually really good chocolate ice cream.
Great. You know, if we all remember the ice cream truck, we all remember the fudgesicles of our youth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And this is really, the Ghana is really an adult fudgesicle.
That is delicious. It's like just the right bitter, just the right sweet. Mm-hmm. I felt a tingle down my spine.
Ooh.
Ooh. It's making love to my spine. All right. Okay, next one.
Okay, the next one is Kalimantan chocolate.
Kalimantan. Here we go.
What is that?
That is Borneo.
Oh. Ooh, this is so exotic.
What made you choose these different regions?
When we purchased the company, these were the original 8 origins that they had. So for our initial launch, we stayed with them.
The color is beautiful.
Wow.
It's very dark, yeah.
This one is much darker than the first one.
Yeah, and interestingly, you'll find that it's much darker in color than in taste.
All right, we're tasting.
This is more caramel truffle.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
This is good.
No, I like this one better than the first one.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. I like the caramel in this.
Mm.
The Kalimantan was a Sophie Award finalist last year from the Specialty Food Association.
Really?
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. We were excited.
Mm.
This with the Indonesian, I could see that.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's a nice double scoop,
struck.
Right? Yeah.
What movie would you watch to this one?
Chocolat.
Yeah. Oh, Sasha, that's
okay,
so
good.
Well played.
So good. You're so quick. All right, I'm having one more.
That one, I think, might be good with a little sprinkle of cayenne.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm, I agree.
That's interesting. Okay, ready to make it, your next stop is Costa Rica?
Costa Rica. Pura vida.
To go.
Here we go.
Have you been to all these places?
We have been to Costa Rica only so far. A little over a year ago, we went to Costa Rica and met our farmers directly, which was great fun.
Oh, wow.
Quite an, you know, watching, looking at these cacao plants on the plantations and wondering if they're going to end up in our ice cream.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Oh,
We have...
so different.
Whoa, this one's so different and so big.
It's very... A lot of people think that that's coffee ice cream. You know, a lot of people get the coffee notes in that.
And yeah, definitely.
Can't believe that we haven't added coffee to it.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, the bitterness, right?
Mm-hmm. There's so much flavor. There's so much flavor from it.
I can't believe how different they are.
Yeah. It's really interesting. So after we get through the fourth one, we'll talk about how different they are and how, you know, people take for granted what is chocolate. Chocolate comes from all sorts of places and they taste so different.
Absolutely.
That was really great.
Excuse me.
Oh, God. You can't have too much ice cream ever.
Never.
All
never,
right.
ever. And then ready for Dominican chocolate?
Yes, we are.
We haven't been to the Dominican farms, but we buy the cacao directly from the farmer's daughter who lives in Southern California.
I love that.
Okay.
So we're pretty close there. And the Dominican is the darkest.
Mmm.
It's a more smoky, savory chocolate.
Oh, my goodness. It's like smoky or something. Oh.
Whoa, yeah.
I would like to pair this with a nice red wine.
Exactly. That is the red wine drinker's ice cream.
Wow, yeah. Mm. A bourbon.
I would like to pair this with a nice tall Dominican.
Wouldn't hurt.
This is delicious.
Non-soft serve.
Is it sacrilegious to mix the vanillas with the ice creams, Nancy? Or are you okay with that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Is it sacrilegious to mix the vanillas with the ice cream?
It's not sacrilegious.
Good.
I was wondering, in this country, do you have those ice creams that were... Mm-hmm. The different colors, pink.
Neapolitan.
Okay.
That's what they call it.
We could do that with this.
Oh my goodness. This thing, this last one, the Dominican one, the flavor just keeps building.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's your favorite chocolate?
It's Dominican for me.
I think so too. I like that there's a lot of the time when I eat chocolate ice cream, there's like a chalky aftertaste afterwards, and none of these leave that. Mm-hmm. I like that it's kind of a clean finish.
Very clean finish, yeah.
I think I like Borneo and Dominican.
Dominican's my favorite.
I'm going back into the Borneo to see what Tasha's talking
about.
It's going
to be a fight now over the chocolate. This one, everyone likes the Dominican chocolate. We're going to have to fight over who gets to eat the rest.
What about you, Jen?
I think I'm torn between Ghana and Borneo.
I just went back to Borneo. Yeah.
Mmm. Mmm. Okay, can we just nap now?
Yeah.
I need someone
to brush my hair.
This was a world tour. This was amazing. Wow. So shout out to my friend who does cacao beans in Dominican Republic, Cacao Bonal. I'm going to shout out to him. This is amazing. Well, tell us about the chocolates.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
Tell us more about the chocolates.
So that's all four of them right now. Again, same, you know, basically the same formulas as vanilla, a few minor tweaks. We changed the, we're using the cacao from the four different countries. Nothing special, nothing different added in. The difference, again, is just from where those beans come from.
Wow. So tell, what was it like to visit the farm in Costa Rica?
It was great. It was very rewarding, you know, really sort of going back to the origin of the product. We were able to see, you know, the tiny little seedlings where they start and the whole process on a couple of different farms, you know, as the cacao grows into various stages. And then once it's picked and the roasting of it and that whole process. And, you know, meeting the people that work for, that, you know, that provide the products was a really fun experience.
And your background, have you been in ice cream for all this time, or?
No, my background, this is, I guess one would say, a third career for us.
Mm-hmm.
My previous background, I was in the advertising agency business for years, and then... was in a nonprofit consultant, nonprofit administration consulting. My husband was an attorney, a mediator, and as I said, has always explored food businesses.
Wow, this is such a great, great world tour. It's like, actually, I have to get into some more chocolate.
I also really love the size. Like, yeah. It's perfect because it doesn't make you feel totally guilty if you finish the whole thing.
Exactly. You can eat that in front of the TV, and it's not an issue.
And it's just enough. It's not too small and not too big.
We're talking about the four. Right. That's the 4 ounce size.
We're talking about
the 4 ounce size. We are, you know, it is also available in pints, in retail stores and online, as well as in the 4 ounce cups.
And where can you find this if I wanted to go out and buy some more so I have my
product? We stash. Have not yet made it to the East Coast.
Oh, that's not right.
Except for right now.
You can purchase this online at choctal.com, choctal.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, we ship with dry ice, not an issue, so that's very easy. We're right now in about 500 stores throughout California, Arizona, Washington, Oregon. We are in the Twin Cities, and we just launched in St. Louis this week.
Oh, how cool. So we got really like an initial taste test. East Coast taste test. I feel special.
So well, who do we have to email to get you guys on the East Coast? Because I think this would be huge here.
You need to walk into your retail stores and say, this is the best ice cream ever.
With a chocolate that. Mustache.
Half chocolate, half vanilla mustache.
Now, Choctaw has some very cool give back corporate commitments. Tell us about that.
We absolutely, you know, we decided if we're going to start out, if we're going to start a third career company, we're going to do it the way we want to. So we locally were involved with several organizations in Pasadena and in Los Angeles. We try and do ice cream socials at various homeless shelters and places like that. We are also a member of 1% for the Planet, which is an organization that vets nonprofit organizations throughout the world. That gives us the opportunity to go into these specific countries where we do business and make a direct contribution.
Oh, that's great.
So 2015 was our first year in 1% for the Planet, and so we decided to make a bigger impact in two countries, and we donated to the East Bali Poverty Project in Indonesia and to the Bright Generation Community Foundation in Ghana. And then a couple of weeks ago, the executive director and the program director from the Bright Generation Community Foundation were in L.A., so we had a chance to meet, and they're launching a pilot program to help educate young agricultural graduates in cacao farming.
Wow.
So our dollars are going directly to that pilot program.
So you've been awarding, what do you call it, fellowship programs or scholarships?
They're calling it a fellowship.
Hmm. Wow, what'd you guys think?
Yum. I think it's pretty amazing.
You may have converted me into a chocolate ice cream eater.
Oh. Ooh.
I'm not making a commitment right now, but I'm saying these are very good chocolate ice creams.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for giving us this world tour.
Thank you. I'm glad you were all able to enjoy it.
I feel very special. Well, I don't know if we have any callers. Nope. Okay. Do we need to take a break? Well, we cleanse our palates. All right. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll come back and talk about some nutrition stuff.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
The one and only Dave Arnold brings the noise to Heritage Radio Network every Tuesday on Cooking Issues.
Coming to you live on the Heritage Radio Network from Roberta's Pizzeria in Bushwick, Brooklyn!
If the bomb was going to drop, and you only had 15 minutes...
Which is like, I can make a sandwich in 15 minutes. He'll be eating a sandwich.
I'd kiss my wife, make a sandwich.
If you believe that it's all about to be over, why eat healthy? Not a freaking Neanderthal. I like a tempered ice cream sandwich. But it's the only way to get around it if you're a party master, because you're going to wind up, like, your kitchen's going to fill with dishes. And
some people have commercial dishwashers in their house.
Who?
I've seen them.
Who?
I've seen them.
Who?
Really rich people.
For more mile-a-minute knowledge from Dave and the crew, listen to Cooking Issues, available on Heritage Radio Network, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Okay, so we're back. And, well, it's the four of us. It's me, Jen 1, Sasha, Jen 2, and their mouths are full of pizza. Because here on Primary Food, we enjoy ice cream before our pizza.
That's right.
We call it pre-zert.
We're grown-ups. We're grown-ups,
exactly. So again, thank you again to Nancy at Choctaw. We enjoy the ice cream, and I hope whoever was listening is curious and jealous. That's what we want. So the last thing we ate was ice cream, and what we're eating now is pizza. I like to ask people, well, if this is the last thing you ate, what was the last thing you did to nourish yourself? Because we think about secondary food, we're having that now. Primary food being everything else in life that nourishes us before we eat. What was the last thing you did? Or a remarkable thing that you've done in the past week that was nourishing? Because nourishment comes in all forms, not just food. It comes in things that you do, interactions with people. Good interactions with people, I should say. And, you know, speaking your truth. So anyone here have a nourishing life story to volunteer? Everyone's like, no, I don't nourish myself outside of food.
Can't talk eating pizza.
I got my hair cut by my friend before I came, so I feel pretty.
Well, that works. That was nourishing. Are you happy about it?
I am. Shout out to my friend Eloise for giving me a nice cut.
Sasha.
I'm not going to speak about the specifics, I have let go of some stuff recently. I have piled things up in my life a little bit, and my rubber band stretched too far. And I let go of some things to make some space in my life. And even though that was just very recently and things haven't changed too much yet, I already feel lighter, and that is good. Like, I'm not carrying lots of stuff on my shoulders anymore.
I love that feeling. Jen?
I think maybe the best way to say it is I'm actually stretching my rubber band a little farther these days. I'm taking some risks at work to add some new information to my life and you know, grow my knowledge about the industry that I'm working in, that I've kind of been narrow-mindedly just paying attention to what I do, and I decided to open my horizons up a little bit and learn a little bit more about the other stuff my company does. And it doesn't sound very nourishing when I say it that way, but it actually is, because, you know, I really like where I work, and I have to spend 8 hours a day there, and I want to be fulfilled in those 8 hours a day. So I'm trying to make that happen there.
Why would you want to be fulfilled at a job?
I know, it's a terrible thing, right? I don't know what I was thinking.
I have been catching up on all of the audiobooks that I bought on Audible. I logged into my Audible and I was like, oh, good Lord. I thought I was going to read those with my ears, like, over the past 2 years. And there's easily, like, 60 hours of books in there. Aww. So I started to lighten my load also, like Sasha said, clean up. I went through closets, found skeletons, and started listening to Audible. So I'm knocking those out. And then I went back to the gym. Oh, this is a great conversation after pizza and ice cream, right? So,
thanks.
I am re-nourishing myself with my gym membership again. And I spent about 16 minutes scratching my dog's belly.
Aww.
I think it's timing. It was about 16 minutes. For her, it was like heaven. Her eyes were like rolling back and she was falling asleep. And it was like,
it was heaven for you too.
No. No, it's wonderful, of course. And I like to talk about this because I want people to understand that nourishment doesn't just come in the form of foodstuffs. It comes in, like, our activities. Jen and I are in the music sphere a lot, and playing and performing music is definitely nourishing. Maybe listening to music you don't like isn't so nourishing, but enjoying it with other people is. Sasha, you and I have talked about primary food a lot. Mm. You do cleanses and such as well.
Yeah, and primary food is a big component. I think that you can You can take a lot of care with secondary food, but if you're not looking at primary care, primary food care, then it's almost, I'm not quite sure to say this, but you're not going to get the full benefits unless you are really also looking at the self-care stuff. It's very, very important.
So speaking of self-care, so give our listeners more examples of what self-care is in the nourishing sense.
I think that what we tend to do is, we can block out stuff that by eating a lot of pizza and ice cream, ironically.
I was wondering how enjoying ice cream into this.
We can hide behind things like that, or watching a lot of television, or being really busy, or just there are so many ways that we hide what's really going on inside. And when we start to peel back some layers, and it could start with just changing up some of the foods that we eat, or it could be like a few nights a week, I'm not going to watch TV, but I'm going to have an Epsom salt bath or go to bed early and things like that. Spend some time journaling, for example. And then you can start to see what's really going on. And it can be really painful to know what's really going on. And this is why many people don't do it, because it's like dredging the pond, and it can be ugly. Like, really, you got to bring up that scum to the top, and it's horrible at first. But the reward is this shiny, clear pond, and it's very, very worth it.
And you can have a great primary food experience with pizza and ice cream like we did
absolutely.
Here.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't mean...
We were totally laughing and enjoying and eating pizza.
Absolutely. But we're doing it mindfully and ums and ahs and oohs, and that's so important.
I think that's key. When you do it mindfully...
Yeah, I think that word can be a little bit overused nowadays, but what that really means is just paying attention, looking at it, smelling it, and just chewing and enjoying rather than eating it in front of a half-open fridge door and hoping nobody sees you.
Or standing. Who eats standing?
I do. I sometimes, because I get home some nights, my husband works at night, so sometimes I come home and relieve the babysitter, and she's already fed my son, so I'm trying to eat something really fast because he really wants to play with me. And I'm like, I just need to eat some spaghetti. Hold on 1 second. And it's not always the most nourishing meal. Those are the nights that I always find myself in front of the fridge again at like 10 o'clock going, I feel like I didn't eat dinner.
Yeah, because
you didn't really. Because my son does it too. Yeah, like and so he's 5 and a half, so his brain is going like 6 zillion miles a minute. And sometimes he'll look at me and go, did we have dinner, Mommy?
Oh.
I'm like, yeah, we like 15 minutes ago, you ate everything. He's like, oh, right, I forgot. And I'm, what were you thinking about while you were eating?
So tips to slow down. Sasha, you've got great tips.
Well,
chew your food.
Chewing, for sure. But I think it really starts with the eyes and the nose, like to remember that part of it. And it even starts with grocery shopping and all things like that. But for the actual day, the meals in front of you, use your eyes and your nose to start the digestive process going, first of all, because that's what gets it ignited.
So that's a great, I love this. Like, digestion starts with your eyes.
It does. It really does.
Don't you love that?
The first message that your digestive system is getting is that you've seen it and you've got that beautiful visual, and that's a message to your gut.
Like the box of ice cream that showed up at my office today. Yeah. I started digesting it the second FedEx dropped it off.
Exactly. Anticipation. And then, of course, the saliva and the teeth have a really important job to do, which when you're eating on the run and you're in a rush and you're just running down the street, throwing food down your mouth, you're not necessarily chewing. And then that's a big part of the digestive process that's missing. And which is why I think a lot of people have digestive problems. So to just pay attention. And I think it's very hard for people. There's a lot of things about chew 100 times. I think that's not realistic. That's not real life.
I would lose track.
Yeah. Exactly.
I've tried that.
And that takes away the pleasure principle.
TMJ.
Exactly.
Can't count and chew.
No.
It's too much.
We're supposed to enjoy our food. We really are. And I think that when you chew and when you smell and you're really engaged and just enjoying the various areas of your tongue are getting the different nuances, then you are going to slow down. Anyway, that's just naturally going to happen.
I definitely feel unwell when I rush eating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel terrible, actually.
Yeah.
So this ice cream, I was sitting and watching Sasha melt the ice cream in her mouth and swallow. I was sitting there and enjoying it that way, too. I think it's really important to allow yourself to taste the food you're eating.
Yeah, well, ice cream's a good example because it's so cold that you don't necessarily taste it. It can be too cold to notice all those nuances, and you've got all these specialty ingredients that you want it to melt a little bit so that they warm up and come to life on your tongue.
Yeah, I think also just having the different taste bud receptors in the different parts of your tongue, especially something like these ice creams that have so many different like notes to them, you want the different parts of your tongue to get the flavor on them so you can taste all the different parts of it.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go from eating our ice cream to finishing up this pizza because somehow it's already time to end. So we're going to roll those ending credits. And thanks for everyone for listening and being here and enjoying pre-zert and
thank
pizza
you.
With me.
No,
thank you. That was awesome.
Come back for more Heritage
Thanks,
Food.
Thanks, Chantal.
Yeah.
Primary Food. This is Cynthia Cherish Malloran.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.